This is an incredible privilege that we've got Timothy and Kerry and the family and the related family. Timothy came to me and said, Mark, God's given me a word and I'd really like to share it. And I think it's a great privilege. You know, we prayed for this family to be going off to the US of A and joining the church plant in Austin, Texas next year. And this is God in preparation, taking them to be a blessing to the nations. Really, a blessing to the nations. So we're so excited for what God's going to share through Timothy today. Amen. Father, we just thank you for Timothy. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you've placed within him. And Lord, may he just have a boldness today and a freedom and a peace as he brings your word to us. May he encourage us. And may we be illuminated with the revelation of Christ as he speaks to us. And may this just be something that will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Go for it, Timothy.
Thank you. Morning, morning. How's everyone? You'll have to forgive my American/South African accent because I've been back and forth a little bit. If I talk too quickly, just tell me to slow down. That's another problem I do have. But no, like Mark said, it's a great privilege for us to be here. I have my wife, Carrie, and we have our four kids. I've got Zoe, Jamie, Charlie, and then another one on the way. So we're growing the church, and we're not even there yet. So it's a wonderful thing. No, it's a privilege to be here. Like Mark said, it's nice to be a son in the house. You know, just kind of, we're here on a little bit of a family sabbatical, recharging, regrouping. I'll share a little bit about that later. But it's nice, you know, we're kind of passing through. And I think the privilege that gives us is it's nice to see what it was when Church on the Way started, and it's nice to now see where you guys are at. And while we've been here, we've just been praying for you guys, and God has laid a few things on our hearts that we wanted to share and impart. So we're very, very excited for that. I think before I run ahead, and I know he didn't think I was going to do this, but I need and still do need a Mark Goodfellow in my life. I'm one of those horses that likes to run and not realize where he's going most of the time. I remember one lesson Mark taught me was you measure twice, do it once. Yeah, it's not my strong suit. I measure many times and just keep drilling until I get the hole in the center. But no, it's been a privilege to be mentored and trained here by Mark and Nikki. They're spiritual parents to us, and they will be going forward. So yeah, I just wanted to honor Mark and Nikki for all the work you've done here. Work you've done with us. It's been a lot of work you've done with us. So do you guys know change is coming? The message that's on my heart is for Church on the Way, but it's for all of us. Change is coming for my family, where we're heading to. We're heading to Austin, Texas, instead of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Much better weather this time of year. It's about -6 where my parents are. Where we're going to is 24. So we are incredibly blessed to be going to a wonderful and a warm place. I think what's been exciting for me to hear, and it came out in the prayer meeting and through worship, that word that Sally gave last week of that river rafting, that's the season we have felt where you guys are at. God is moving you into a new season and has begun already. The picture I had was you guys on the top of a mountain, and you're about to come down the other side into a new season, into a new promised land. So it's going to be new, it's going to be exciting, but it's also going to be happening quickly. There's a greater momentum that God's going to be doing in and through you. And the words that have come out, it's going to happen whether you're a part of it or whether you're not. And obviously, we want everyone to be a part of it. You know, when you push a boulder down the hill, it moves. It doesn't just stay still. So God's got amazing things, exciting things for you guys ahead. When I was reading in the book of Acts, that's just another kind of picture of what I think God is going to be doing here. You see the Holy Spirit begin to be poured out in the very beginning, and then you see the Holy Spirit moving, and you see God moving and things happening faster and faster throughout the book. And just this wonderful expression of the Holy Spirit's works and anointing, and that's going to be taking place here. You guys have been building for a long time. You know, it's time to take the scaffolding off and get mobilized, move out. God's got amazing, amazing things ahead of you. A few things that get to come along for free that God was just sharing this morning with me was, where's Donovan? Or is he not in the building? Oh, Donovan. I'll skip him. I'll come back. Somebody get Donovan. But Norman, God gave me a picture for you, just of a, I know you and your African expeditions, a big truck with knobbly tires, but like the American version, not the South African version, you know what I mean? Like you need three step ladders to get inside of it. And I just really felt God say, don't stop going. You've been created for a time as this. Your prime is now. Your prime is now. No, I just, and Donovan, I wanted to share with you, this picture came to me a long time ago, that those alabaster jars, you know, that hold oil, I just felt that broken over you and over the worship team, and I just felt that there is new worship that's going to come out of this church. And we in Texas will be singing the songs you guys have written. So hold on to it. It's coming quickly. So thank you, Lord. Another thing I felt is just for the next generation, which I include myself in, Mark just misses it. So Mark's not in the... No, I'm just kidding. No, I believe that there's a next generation coming in that's going to be coming into the life of this church. And I think the challenge to everyone in this church is, are you ready? They're going to be very different than what you're used to. They will be on their cell phones a lot more than you want them to be. That's the way it's going to be. But can you reach them? Can you connect with them? Can you help them come into a relationship with Christ? The next generation is coming. Sorry, one more. Robbie, I just felt for you, don't underestimate who you are. And you and Lisa Marie together, God gave me your dynamite couple. God's got big things ahead of both of you. Just hold on to him and keep going. All righty. Then the last thing, and Mark brought the word now. God's kind of ministered to over Karen and myself, and I just felt it was very applicable to you guys. I just wanted to read five promises that God has for you now and going into your new season. So the first one is Isaiah 54, verse 2 to 3. Mark read it in the prayer meeting. So the first promise is of enlargement. So it says, enlarge the place of your tent, let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations, and the people will, and you will people the desolated cities. So God's got enlargement for you. Another promise, he's got provision, newness, and an outpouring of the spirits. So that's from Isaiah 43, 15 to 21, and I'll read it quickly. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, that's provision, and a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariots and horses, army and warrior, they lie down and cannot rise. They're extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostrich, for I give water in the wilderness, that's the outpouring, and rivers in the desert, to give drink to all my chosen people. And then the fifth promise was just, I felt, was a promise of protection over the church and over us individually. It's also Isaiah 43, that's 1 to 3. But thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Karen and I were chatting, and it's one of those things. We've been here. It's been wonderful to be part of you guys. We're very excited, and we can't wait to be in Texas, but we're slightly jealous because we're going to miss what God is going to be doing here. I can't tell you how excited we are for what God has in store and ahead of you. Like, it's going to be intense. There's going to be a lot of work. The attacks will come. Those things will happen. But the things that God is going to do in and through this church are going to be outstanding. You guys need to hold on and get ready because change is coming. Alrighty, the thing that I wanted to look at, the topic, is just, do we believe in ourselves? And do we understand that Jesus believes in us? So just before that, I want to pray, and then we'll take a look at a few things. Thank you, Lord, that we could be here today just to share in what you're doing and what you're saying, how you're challenging and changing all of us, and just how you're linking hearts and futures and destinies are changing. Lord, as we just look at this understanding of who you are and who we are, would you just minister each and every single one of us, that we would just have such a great revelation of understanding that you actually believe in us, that you really do, and we need to believe in ourselves. We thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. Would you just come and open minds, open hearts, break chains now. Set us free as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so the topic I want to talk about is belief in yourself and that Jesus believes in you. Do we know that Jesus believes in you? Because I know we talk a lot about us believing in Jesus. And that's right, and that's good, that has to happen. But I think a key thing is to realize that Jesus believes in you. He wouldn't have called you if he didn't believe in you. And I think that that's key. For the next season, I know as I look at my family, I've never been to Austin, Texas. Never been there. And I'm taking my family, 4 children, a wife, from one state, 20 hours down, leaving family, everyone, joining a couple that we've met on Skype. I need to know that Jesus believes in me and that I can believe in myself, or else we're going to fail. So we need to know that Jesus believes in us. Can you please turn with me to Matthew 14? Verse 22. I like the disciple Peter. He reminds me a lot of me. I just haven't walked on water yet, but we're working on that one. But I relate a lot to him. A season I've come out of, which I'll share with just now, and the season we're going into, the life of Peter speaks a lot to me, and I just want to share from his life. So verse 22, this is just after Jesus feeds the 5,000. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you have little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they'd gotten to the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This, in the journey, in the stage that I've come out of, this story has spoken a lot to me about just the way God calls and the way we believe in ourselves. And there's a few things I wanted to quickly share, and then I just had 5 points I wanted to encourage us with. The biggest thing that stands out to me is that Peter actually thought he could get out and do it. No one's done that before. This is the first time they've seen Jesus do it. But Peter had that belief. He had been with Jesus. He saw Jesus. Well, if Jesus can do it, why can't I? And then Jesus calls him. So Peter goes, "Okay, well, if Jesus says I can do it, well, then surely I can do it." And he does do it. He does it for a while. We have no idea how far Jesus is away from the boat, but Peter is out walking on the water, and then he begins to sink. Why does he begin to sink? Because he begins to take his eyes off of Jesus and see the circumstances going on around him. I've read a very interesting story about that. What I love is that Jesus isn't sinking. So Peter's not doubting that Jesus can't still walk on the water, because Jesus is still on the water. Peter's doubting whether he can still walk on the water because of what's going on around him. So Peter started to doubt himself, that he had the ability to be able to do what God had already called him to do, and that was walk on the water. And I also find it phenomenal that it's not the waves or the sea or the storm or the fish in the sea or anything like that that Peter sees. What does Peter see? He sees the wind. Can we see the wind? Not really. What that spoke to me about, and reading different people's takes on it, one thing that stood out to me was when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. He didn't see the water or the waves. He saw the wind. You can't even see the wind. There was plenty to see and be afraid of, but what he saw was something unseeable. How true is that of us? Our fears are largely in our head, largely imagined dangers that could be real and certain, There are real things to fear, but so often the ones that sink us are the less the waves and the water, but more the wind. That's where Satan gets us, the unseeable. It's what he plants in our minds, what he tells us to see. So just give me some artistic license here a little bit. So you can imagine Peter's walking on the water to Jesus. Jesus has called him. He's walking to him. And you can begin to just think of the little voice that starts stirring in the back of his head. How are you walking on the water? You know, your sandals are not made for this. You're not made for this. How are you able to do this? So what does he begin to do? He begins to believe the voices in his head over what Jesus has called him. And I think that's key in this next season for us and for all of us as we go into this. We need to be sure of what God has called us. We need to hold on to what he has told us. He has to hold on to where we know he's taking us. But we have to believe in ourselves that we can do it. We have to believe in ourselves that we can do it. Because Jesus believes in you. Alrighty, let's look at these five things from that story. The first one is that we need to hear the call of Jesus. Jesus defines us, I find, but the call helps focus us. So all of us are here. I know Carrie and I, we're visiting, we're passing through. Most of us are here in this church. So you've heard the call. God has called you. You've put your hand up. He's saying, yes, Jesus calls me. I am here. It's not a light thing to take. It's a thing to take serious. It's not just something just to push off to the side. When God calls, you need to know that it's a weighty thing, but it's a joyful thing. So I remember the calling for me to join this church plant was not initially to join this church plant. I remember when it was announced at Cornerstone, I was on Life Team in 2004, and I initially felt to pray for the church. So that's what I started doing. I started praying for the church plant that was going to happen. And over time, God planted something in my heart, and it began to grow. And eventually, I met with Mark, and I responded to what God has said, and I joined this church plant. That often happens with all of us is Jesus is just looking for a willing heart. So when the call comes out, you've heard the call, change is coming, we need to be on the raft, those different things, that's the call. It's what we do with the call that makes all the difference. The second thing is that we need to believe it, and we need to believe that we can do it. And this is a big one. This is a really, really big one. We need to take captive the thoughts that are in our mind. We need to know that without Jesus, we can do nothing. So three years ago, we went to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Very up north, next to the Great Lakes, very cold. It's supposed to only snow 3 months of the year. It snows 6 months of the year. That was not in the travel brochure, I can promise you that one. So we went there because I found a job to go. It wasn't wrong that we went. But what began to happen while we were there, and I'll explain it a little bit more later, is we didn't have the community. We didn't have this group of people, these kinds of people around us. But we did believe what God had said, and we stepped out and we went, and I began to work in the States. It wasn't easy by any means, hence why we're here on a 3.5 month sabbatical being restored. But it was the right step that we had to take. I'm going to pause that story there, and we'll come back to that as I share some more. I think in these times, as we're moving forward with God and what he has for us, I think much, and I'm speaking to the males now, a lot of us men, I think we undermine ourselves, and we don't really believe that we are who we are. That happened especially to me in this time. I had a lot of doubt come in. The devil was with me. Well, not with me, but was attacking me. I had a lot of self-doubt, worthlessness, shame that came in through this period when we were in the States. And it made me think I was disqualified for what I was called to. And it's still a fight that I fight, maybe not daily, but often. It's just this thing of, well, you lost your way. How can you know that you're on it now? How can you be the one up here sharing? So I think we need to know that when we believe in ourselves, we need to know what Jesus says about us. We need to know what he calls us. And specifically the men, we need to know that you are mighty warriors. You are sons. You are mighty men. You need to know that God is with you and he's equipped you. He's called you to be here. He's given you the strength. Yes, we've all gone through hard times, and we don't need to sit out and measure and tell our stories like that. But we've all had pain and betrayal and neglects and resentments and all those different things. But you specifically, man, you need to realize that God has called you. You need to believe in yourself. You need to believe who you are. You need to get rid of shame, get rid of worthlessness. You need to hold on to what the Lord has said about you. There's two video clips. I work very well with images that I want to play. I'll explain the first one. We'll watch it. Then I'll explain the second one. One's from Lord of the Rings. One's from Transformers. So I'm sure we'll hit the younger generation here. There's a scene in Lord of the Rings where Aragorn is meant to be king, but he's not king yet. It just spoke to my heart of saying, you know, we are kings with Christ. I just think a lot of us don't realize that. And there's a scene where he gets given a sword, and he's told to forget the ranger and become the king he was born to be. So let's just watch that clip, Robbie, and then I'll explain a bit more.
Andúril, a flame of the west, forged from the shards of Narsil.
Thanks, Robbie. Yeah, that video clip gives me goosebumps every time I watch it. But I think that it speaks to a primal insideness to men. Well, it does to me. Just of this thing of we want to all be warriors, we want to all swing swords. I do. I have a son, he does. But we forget that. We get weighed down by work, we get weighed down by our past, the lies that we're told. And I want to encourage us, and yes, ladies as well, that it's time to put down who you think you are and believe who you truly are. And you're a king with Christ. You're a son, and you're a king. And you need to rule and reign with him like that in your lives and in the future that Christ has. And then another thing that happens when we put our hand up for the call, and a good test to know if you're on the right way, is you will definitely find spiritual attack come your way. When we put our hand up to go to Texas, it has not been easy spiritually. The devil doesn't want heaven extended on earth. Do we know that? And he is real. And he'll do what he can to try to disqualify, isolate, take you out. This next clip is from Transformers. There's no blood. It's robots cutting robots. I'm just warning now. But it's a scene that's... Optimus Prime, one of the leaders, comes back and he takes on this stronghold oppression and defeats it very easily where no one else could. But listen carefully to what he says, because we have to realize I'm not asking people to go out now and challenge hell, challenge the kingdom of darkness. But you need to realize that they know who you are. You need to know who you are. Robbie, would you play it?
Optimus.
Forget who I am. I am Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that scene God ministered to me with immensely over my last 2.5 years in the States. But what stands out to me with that is you need to be secure in understanding who you are. You need to know who you are in Christ. Oppression, attacks will come. Things from other people will come. Attacks of darkness will come. You need to stand your ground. You need to swing the sword of the Spirit. You need to know who you are, and you need to stand your ground. You have to do that. You have to stand your ground. Number three, which is an obvious one, is so you've heard the call. We need to believe that we can do the call, but then you need to respond to the call. I mean, that's an obvious one. We need to step out. We need to get into the boat. We need to get out of the boat, however God's leading you. Walk on the water. Don't be fearful. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Fear is a real thing, and it will come, and it will attack. We need to hold on to what God has said over us, what God has said to us, who we are. We need to hold on to him. We also need to realize that, yes, the call can be a lot of work. So physically, we're moving to a new state. I've got to get all my stuff from a storage unit in minus a million degree temperature into a vehicle, 20 hours down to Texas, find a house, find a job, help guys plant a church. There will be a lot of work. And that's just in the physical. That's not even the spiritual. But remember, his burden is easy. My test to know whether I'm still following the call is, do I still have joy? If you still have joy, keep going. I think if we get to that place where we're resenting it a little bit, or we're not happy, or we're, I'm not saying uncomfortable, because you're going to be uncomfortable, but where we lose sight of joy, check. Are you still on the right path? Are you on the right call? Do you need to adjust? Is it time for you to move on? Okay, number four. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. So I come from Wisconsin, so I get to read you a Native American story. So here we go. An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. And he says, a fight is going on inside me. He said to the boy, it's a terrible fight. And it's between two wolves. One is evil, and it is angry, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance. And he continued, and the other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity. The same fight is going inside of all of us and inside every other person. He then, the grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his father, which wolf will win? And the father said, the one you feed. So what we worship will become. So we left here two and a half, three years ago. We went to Wisconsin. I went to work. So I went from a Christian setting into a very secularly worldly setting. Churches in Wisconsin are extremely conservative. I find extremely conservative both spiritually and connecting with people. And just through long working hours and allowing work to become an addiction and a number one rather than my family and God in my life, I began to definitely slip away from community with Christ. And I became isolated, absolutely. And in that process, damaged my family, hurt my family extremely, hurt myself. And in and through that, coming here, being restored, having guys pray with us, pray over us, walk with us, it's been interesting to look back and see what's happened. The biggest thing for me that I want to warn us about is the power of isolation. You cannot let yourself get isolated. We are called to work out life. We co-create life with Christ and in community. You have to do it in community. We don't want to because it means we have to work with other people. And sometimes, well, for me, it's much easier to work by myself. I am a bit of a lone wolf. I work really, really well by myself. But I lost my way doing that. So we have to work out life in community. We see in Genesis, you know, they fall. Jesus is walking in the garden looking for them, and they've hidden themselves because now they're aware that they're naked. And that's what isolation does. Isolation shows you your faults. And that's the devil's ploy. He wants to isolate you. You know, when you look at the wildlife shows, it's the animal at the back that gets taken out, the one that's isolated or running far back behind. It's not the one in the middle or the one in the front. There's too much momentum. It's the one sitting at the back. The goal of sin is to separate. When sin comes in, it can make us think that we don't deserve God's presence. Condemnation comes to bring guilt and shame, which causes us to think we need to hide from God rather than run to Him. Guilt and shame leads to isolation. Once isolated, we find the cycle of guilt and shame continues, and that's what happened to me. So I went with every intention to provide for my family, being number one. What happened was, through work hours and things at work, work became number one, and I wrote my family off almost. And then you feel guilty and shameful, and it just perpetuates that cycle. And that's the power of the devil. You cannot let yourself become isolated. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and life abundantly. If what you're doing takes away from you, kills you, steals from you, destroys anything godly in your life, I could tell you now it's not of God. God only brings life. Only brings life. I find this interesting. When did Peter deny Jesus? When there was no one else around him. So Peter was alone and then questioned and then denied Jesus three times. But Peter would never have done that in the community of brothers that he had before. So when Peter was alone, he denied Jesus. It came out, I think, this morning now, watch for unforgiveness as well. That was a big one that God wanted me to highlight. Unforgiveness and offense. It only hurts yourself. It only hurts yourself. Yes, it can get to the point where it'll affect everyone around you, but forgive and forget and move on. Nikki coined this phrase over me, a water off a duck's back. I can forgive and forget and move on very quickly, though there is sometimes a lack of processing the pain and the hurt that came through it so that I know how to handle those situations better. But you gotta forgive and move on. Then I think lastly, number five, we need to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, which we all take for granted. And we all say, yeah, that's absolutely true. But we have to realize that. The places that God's taking all of us will require more than our natural selves can actually give. I don't speak Texan, so I've been called to go to a state that has guns. I bow hunt, so I have no guns, that eats meat, that grows meat on trees. Well, no, that contradicts my belief. That grows trees in the garden, and I don't eat any animal products. So now I'm going to a place to relate to people who I don't fit in with at all. So there's got to be more than just me relating to those people in Texas. I do like country music, though, so I'll make it there. I'm a big country music. You guys can come and we'll take your line dancing. No, so the point is that we have to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do it no other way. The journey that God has every single one of us on and where He's taking us to and with has to be done through Him and a daily reliance with Him. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There is no clause. It says, but you will receive. You will receive. And then what will you do? You will be my witnesses. We must be receiving the Holy Spirit. We need to all be anointed in it. We need to be anointed in Him, walking, working with Him. From 1 Peter, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that has been brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We have to do life with Jesus. We have to do life in community and with the Holy Spirit. We're going from glory to glory. Do you realize? So we are already glory, and we're going to more of it. And the only way we do that is with the power of the Holy Spirit. The next seasons ahead are exciting. They're exciting times that lay ahead. They're going to be demanding times, but not like the world says the word demanding. They will just require more of us in Christ. But that will come naturally. That's not a, oh no, now I have to figure out how to do that. Yeah, there might be a discipline that needs to go into place of spending time in the Word or in prayer or spending time fellowshipping with one another. But it's exciting, exciting times ahead. Like Karen and I said, we're jealous to not be here. It feels like the airplane just got rocket boosters strapped to it, and you guys are going to be... We will hear about you all over the world. It's exciting times ahead. I don't have much else to say. I just wanted to come and encourage you with those five things. Is be evident that Jesus is calling. So what is he saying? How can I be involved? Believe in yourselves that you can do it, because Jesus believes in you. Then respond to it. Put your hand up. Say, this is what I feel God's calling me to. This is what I'm going to do. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because that's what it's all about. And do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I pray? Lord, what a privilege it is to be on this adventure and this journey of life that you have us on. It's amazing that you bring us into South Africa, take us back out, and bring me back to just be able to minister. Like, it's such a small world that we actually live in. But we just say thank you for how hearts are knitted. We're excited for what the future has. And Lord, I really do trust and ask you, Holy Spirit, just to come and anoint this church in a way that they've never had before. In the book of Acts, we see tongues of fire fell down. Lord, let them have those experiences frequently. Frequently, Lord. As the momentum picks up, Lord, I trust that no one will be left aside. That everyone will get on board, will hold on. And literally hold on for dear life only because of the speed that God is moving. That it's an exciting place. Lord, this is a church that doesn't actually almost have to go look for people, because with the development that's happening around them, people are just going to come to them. And we say thank you for that. Let them be a beacon on the hill where they're at, high above all of the other areas around them. Give them favor with the property people. Give them favor with the locals. Give them extra favor with you, Lord. Bless every single person here. And we do just say thank you, Lord, that our life is lived with you. It's not about us, but it is about you. We say thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Timothy and Kerry, just thank you for being so transparent on this journey that the Lord has been taking you upon. God always works for the good.